Welcome to the Leo Sagami Show, Leo and Chrissy Sagami.
Hi, everyone.
Check out the salad and insect witchcraft. What a menu for today's show, but we have also much more. Hey. I don't see you very convinced. So here we go. Remember, the first part of the show is on YouTube. The second part of the show is only on X and Rumble. That's special content that will be, of course, censored on YouTube. So we have decided to split the show in two. It's been working for my Italian audience. We're going to be testing it more for you. We did it also last week, you know?
Yeah.
It worked out. So here we are with a new show, a lot of news. It's been a week filled with news, but also with this constant thing about cicadas, eating cicadas, even on pizzas.
Yeah.
I've been talking about this whole obsession by the New World Order of forcing us into eating insects. And so that's going to be a subject we're definitely going to be discussing. But first of all, let's thank our sponsors for today. Christy, who are our sponsors?
Melgris Adaminsa and Bruce Kodish, thank you very much for your donations. And thank you to everybody who bought the book this week. It was a really good week. So thank you. I think we got a lot of rumblers on there.
Rumblers we have at the
didn't
moment.
Have your books, so.
Well, we have a few rumblers, not that many. I must say that last week we had also a lot of people following us on X. Now please share, because I see that you're starting to tune in from X. I see that you're also tuning in from Rumble. So all together, this show has at least a decent outcome in its live version. We're going to be, of course, replicating this show on Bandot Video, on Telegram, and on BitChute. There is certain countries, Christy, where X and Rumble actually is censored. I find it very strange because, like I said earlier in my Italian show, Rumble is one of the only American platforms that actually gives the possibility to Russia Today, which is a state-owned company, to broadcast, but then they don't permit Rumble to be broadcast in Russia. That's a little bit of an hypocrisy, but for those Russians interested in following us, of course, the second part of the show, it's on Telegram, and then we're going to be also uploading it on BitChute. So we're going to be uploading it on both Telegram, BitChute, and Bandcamp. So we have a lot of platforms here, guys. And of course, we have a lot to say about the subject of today. But first of all, why is being so strong, this forceful propaganda about eating cicadas? I got on my nerves this week. I mean, wherever you went, you will find simply cicadas and more cicadas. So let's go and check what it's all about. The crunchy delicacy.
Yes. Visual entry from the culinary corner tonight. It has to do with the billions of cicadas that have begun emerging from the ground in some parts of the country.
Cicadas.
And while many of us would rather tell them to bug off, others are saying bon appetit. News 16's Carrie Kearns has more on the chaos turned cuisine in Louisiana.
It's pretty horror. It's pretty horrible. It's very appropriate to see.
We don't mean poltergeist. We're talking cicadas. Billions of them have invaded parts of the country. And if you can't beat them, eat them.
Every culture has things that they love to eat, and maybe things that are taboo or things that people just sort of wrinkle their nose and frown their brow at. And there's no reason to do that with insects.
Zach Lehman is a curator of animal collections at Audubon Insectarium in New Orleans. On the menu at the in-house snack bar here, there are Southwest waxworms with chili powder, crispy Cajun crickets, and for a limited time,
cicadas aren't usually on the menu because most of the world's cicadas don't take 13 or 17 years to develop like these and emerge by the millions. they are here and there.
So while they're here,
gingerly plop cicadas down into the flour, and then I'll mix them in the flour.
You can fry them.
There we go. That's everybody.
Or
is season them in the hand.
Bake the little buggers. You can even toss them in a salad.
So we do different dishes that are savory, that are sweet. I like to tell people if it's coming from a New Orleans kitchen, even if it's bizarre, it's going to be tasty.
But before you take a bite, just be aware, if you're allergic to shellfish, you should not eat cicadas because the FDA says they're related to shrimp and can cause a reaction. Carrie Kearns, Newswatch 16.
Oh, I don't like watching that frying in the pan. It's so gross. Ew.
Christy, please read an extract from my book, which is basically entitled Seven Steps to the Secrets of the New World Disorder. And it's actually very appropriate. From Transhumanism and Immortality to Gnostic Jesus, UFOs, and ultimately Insect Witchcraft. So their obsession with us eating these insects is based on a variety of.
I was just making gross motions.
On a variety of ways for us to basically be subject more and more to this insanity that has, though, a purpose. It's a sick purpose, a twisted purpose, but I will try to make you understand it today. Welcome to the Leo Zagami Show. For those people who want to support us, I want to remind everybody, because, guys, we don't have any other sponsors than you. And so it's very important to remind our viewers that you are our sponsors. If you would like to sponsor us, you have GoFundMe, you have Cash App.
Yeah, we're at the end of the month, guys. So I know you guys are too, but.
Yeah, well, of course. But remember.
We have another month, you know, ahead of us.
So another month ahead of us. And we will be starting very soon with some more exploration into the Illuminati, into the occult side of the Illuminati, with the publication of my latest book, which is coming soon. It's volume 10 of my confessions. Let me tell you the title here, because it's a brand new book and I still have to memorize it myself. I mean, I'm the author, but I'm kind of getting used to it.
The titles or subtitles are long.
Islamic Freemasonry and the Secret Societies Behind the Eternal Conflict in the Middle East. This book, I warn you, is going to be an eye-opener like no other book you ever read. So be ready to have your world turn upside down by a book. It can be possible. And I tell you, this new book that is upcoming, it's one of those. But at the moment, we have volume 9. And volume 9 still is a very relevant book, a very important book, which talks about this subject. Like I said, this week has been a constant reminder that cicadas are edible, that cicadas are crunchy, that cicadas are can be cooked in a variety of ways.
Like the beautiful 17-year-old cicada nymphs, I thought I'd compliment them with seasonal spring ingredients like asparagus and peas. Look at that butter. The chili and garlic add wonderful depth to the savoriness. The creaminess of the butter is just perfect. And the mint is the perfect foil to bring everything together. Wait. Hold your breath. Happy spring, everybody! Do you think you'd enjoy this dish as much as I did?
Is it
highlight the beauty.
Don't highlight them anymore.
I'm getting sick on this show.
Okay. Here, a citation from my book. Yeah?
Okay. From this part?
Yes.
Okay. Insects and the Curse in the Codex Alimentarius. Insects are a curse for humanity, not our future food, and they could easily get out of control and damage our crops with the increased presence of insect farming all over the world, as we haven't industrially farmed insects before. There's a whole new world disorder of evolving issues to take into account, including viruses, bacteria, and fungi, which become prevalent and strong within the insect colonies.
I want to block you here. I want to block you in this passage here, but remember that I'm gonna make you pick you up again from that moment.
I was in the middle of a sentence.
You were in the middle of a sentence, but that is actually very appropriate to specify that these cicadas, these billions of cicadas, have a sickness. They have a fungi. They are actually these trillions of cicadas that are emerging. They're not so pure as you all think. And even
we don't think they're pure.
Well, I mean, for those people who are proposing them here as a culinary prelibacy, they must think they are good, or at least they are acceptable. I'm not saying, I'm saying here a danger to our health, because a fungus that grows on these cicadas makes them really dangerous for us. And the trillions of cicadas that are emerging this spring have this fungus. So let's go and see. The cicadas aren't expected, they are converging, and it's of course an exceptional moment, they're saying how, but let's read this part here, Christy, this part here.
Some of the cicadas, however, may have come in contact with fungal pathogen called Massospora
cicadina, this is Latin,
which makes them hypersexual. The
sexually transmitted fungal
infection turns them into so-called zombie cicadas,
yes,
with a chalky white plug erupting out of their bodies and making their genitals fall off. Oh my God. Cicada expert Matthew Gasson says it's not yet clear how the fungus impacts other wildlife, animals, or humans.
But they want us to eat this bullshit.
I'm not feeling very good. The cicadas continue to participate in normal activities like it would as if it was healthy. Kaysen, an associate professor of mycology and forest pathology at West Virginia University, told CBS News, like it tries to mate, it flies around, it walks on plants, yet a third of its body has been replaced by fungus. That's really kind of bizarre.
And it's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, really.
So let's go and check CBS News and what they're saying about the arrival of trillions of cicadas. Welcome to the Leo Zagami Show, wherever you are watching us, on whatever platform you're watching us. Remember, our show is trying to give you something the other shows don't focus on. So our analysis is a little bit different, is a little bit original and unusual, of course. And what we're talking here is at the center also of my latest book, Volume 9. Of course, soon it's going to be replaced as my latest book by Volume 10. But at the moment, Volume 9 is also a very important book because it's the only book of my series, one of the only books, let's say, because I think you can also read Volume 8 aside, you know, on its own. Volume 9 you can read on its own. You don't have to purchase the prior volumes to understand it. And let's go to this a report that came out yesterday on CBS about these cicadas.
In some parts of the country after laying dormant for more than a decade. The collective noise from the insects can be as loud as a jet engine. It is so loud that some residents in South Carolina call the police. Cicadas are also beginning to come out in Illinois, which will see two broods co-emerge for the first time in 200 years. For more on the cicada emergence, we're joined by Jonathan L. Larson. He is an extension entomologist at the University of Kentucky. Thanks for joining us. So we warned people that this was happening, but either they weren't paying attention to the news or they had no idea it was going to be this bad. But what are people experiencing now that these two broods are emerging?
We have so many bugs just coming up out of the ground. It really is amazing to see and hear. I do know that it startles some people. The noise level can be quite loud. It's not necessary to involve the police, though. They'll be out here in a few weeks, hopefully by the end of June, and you won't have to experience it anymore. And they've been waiting 13 or 17 years to get above ground. They don't want to spend this precious time that they have in a jail cell.
So what are the similarities or differences between the two broods, I guess? How do you know they're two different broods?
So we know that these are two different broods because one group that's emerging sort of concentrated in the Illinois and Wisconsin.
It's a little bit screwed, I think, but doesn't matter.
So they've been waiting 17 years to do this. That's three different species, and they have some visual and auditory things that they make up their body that help us to differentiate them from the 13-year cicadas, which are a part of the Great Southern Brood, which is going to be emerging across much of the southeastern United States.
I just can't get over the word brood, you know, because I think brood, I think hordes, like the Great Southern Brood. It's just like an invading military or something. How do they know when to emerge, these broods?
That's a great question. So when they're underground, they're nymphal cicadas, so they're baby cicadas. And they're counting kind of the ebb and the flow of their food resource, the tree sap that they suck out of the tree roots, and they log that. I don't want to make it sound like they actually count, but after a certain number of those instances, it's a cue in their brains that tells them it's time to come up. They do miscount. We have some that rise up early, at least a year, and we have some that they miscount and they're late, up to 3 years late even.
Wow. You know, you mentioned that they drink tree sap. And, you know, often when we see, like, a bunch of insects kind of descending on us, we're usually warned, you know, your gardens may be impacting your trees, protect your trees. You don't often hear that about cicadas. When you have these many cicadas out feeding, does that not have an impact on the environment or on the foliage?
Luckily, as adults, they don't eat very much. They do most of their eating as immatures below ground. And when they come above ground, they're really only looking to do a couple of things. The males are looking to sing, and the singing is to attract females. I often joke it's kind of the world's darkest Mardi Gras because it's just a bunch of singing and other things and then dying. They're going to be bugs. So it's not about eating when they come above ground, and that's one of the reasons that we don't consider them major pests. They're females when they lay their eggs. There can be some problems. They can cause the twigs to break in certain trees. And that can be problematic for fruit growers, but we just wrap nets around those trees and end up protecting.
Singing, mating, and dying. They're going out with a bang. No pun intended, right. Jonathan. Jonathan Larson.
Well, this was to understand a little bit more what we're dealing with. I remember arriving here the first year in Palm Springs.
Oh, my God. I wrote about it in my book. I think I thought they were... locusts.
No, I mean, we thought that they were indigenous, that they were something that happened every year. It was actually an extraordinary passage that happens only every number of years, but they had invaded everywhere, and you could hear these things constantly. And I had a couple of encounters that were not that great.
They dive bombed his head when he went out the door. I mean, because there's a light above our thing, and at night they're attracted to the light. So he would go and take Rambo out
Another time, instead, I was walking with Rambo next to a bush and I had one jumping on me. And another time, I was simply smoking and suddenly jumped. One of these things jumped on me. I was smoking a joint. Yes, I have to confess.
You weren't in the house, though.
Yeah, but it jumped on me. They must have enjoyed maybe the waft of ganja. In any case, that was the first year I arrived here. It was really incredible to see their bodies, like when they leave these bodies,
I see them in the
laundry. They died in the woods and they leave the remains. And
it's
the
disgusting.
Chain. I mean, I don't know. It was pretty disgusting.
I'm really sick
but
right
I can't
now.
Imagine people actually wanting you to eat them, especially when we have just shown you and the dangers that could be associated with eating something that has a fungal pathogen. So let's continue with reading what I have written in volume 9 of my confessions.
There's a whole new world disorder of evolving issues to take into account, including viruses, bacteria, fungi, which become prevalent and strong within the insect colonies, all farm together in extremely close proximity, from which new treatments will need to be continuously created to ensure said insects are still remotely safe to eat. Remember, different kinds of bacteria that are known to make people sick have been found in insects, including E. coli and Campylobacter. In addition to these bacteria, viruses, parasites, and fungi are also possible forms of biological contamination. Maybe we should be acting like Reagan in Exorcist 2 when she banishes the locusts and the powerful demon Pazuzu by enacting an ancient bull roarer. Or we preferably reject this diet and pray to God to deliver us from this growing evil. Yes.
This is volume 9 of my confessions, which, by the way, talks also about other things that regard this fixation that they are trying. And I mean, it was all over the news this week. It was ended up on.
And they cooked them every single way you can think of. Yes. I mean, I saw them fried. I didn't see any. Oh, anyway, yeah, no, I can't do it.
The
I
Louisiana. Can't even talk about
it. Cajun cicada or something.
They seem to be very much into it in Louisiana. In fact, they were going all over the place instructing people on how to eat these cicadas, how we call them?
Yeah, whatever.
It's cicadas. Okay, but would you like really a cicada salad?
Or pizza?
Pizza.
When you come to Audubon Insectarium, you'll get to see 50 live animal exhibits. We have a beautiful butterfly garden with hundreds of flying butterflies overlooking the river, and
the bug heaven. But is it really bug heaven, or is it bug hell? So here we are with an understanding that in the tradition of ancient Japan and ancient China, these kind of insects were all put in a jar, made to fight with each other, and out of the surviving insects, that mean the most vicious and poisonous, probably they've created a poison. Here we have in my journey, in step three of my journey, volume 7 of my confession, a description of what American nutritionist Victor Linder, because I mean, I'm not the only one who sees them as diabolic. They were actually people who were expert nutritionists who saw these insects as being really diabolic. So, Christy, would you like to read here a little bit about a concept? Because we are what we eat.
Yeah.
And this is something, I mean, we are what we eat is actually a saying that emerged, I think, in Germany, and also, if I don't get it wrong, maybe later on, yes, in America, through the 1923 edition of the Bridgeport Telegraph, and an article by this guy, Victor Linfar, in which basically he was saying 90% of the diseases known to man are caused by cheap foodstuff. You are what you eat. That was what the media used to say to us 100 years ago, exactly 100 years ago. And now, after 100 years, you know, after Victor Linder coined this, popularized this expression that, like I said, originally might have come from Germany and then also from France, Antoine Brillat-Savarin also used this expression, but then was launched worldwide by this American nutritionist. And at this point, I would like to mention also the fact that this "we are what we eat" is also a religious thing when we talk about
transubstantiation.
Yeah, it is basically the phrase, if you are a Catholic, when you eat the Eucharist, you are basically partaking of the blood of Christ, not symbolically and everything else. Imagine if that Eucharist was made of insect flour, just for a moment. I mean, it's just so sick that we are willing to even think about this idea. The Secrets of Kodoku. Kodoku is a type of poisonous magic I mentioned just a moment ago in Japanese folklore, derives from China. In Chinese, it was known as Gu magic. And basically, the earliest records of this kind of magic are from thousands of years ago. So the insects were collected. The larger ones were snakes, which is not an insect, but it was included in the whole thing. Then you had the various lice placed inside with them. You have other kinds of insects, scorpions, all kinds of things. They were all put together. It was kind of like they were mixed up. And so eventually we'll create the insects in a jar, will kill one another until only one survived. The fluids of the insects that survive will be used to poison an individual with a curse that will control them, cause them misfortune, or kill them.
I think somebody wrote that in the chat.
Yes.
Mind control bugs.
A mind controls kind of, but that is really what they're trying to do here. They're trying to convince us that we need to eat these bugs, while they, of course, will be probably
filet mignon.
Well, yeah, caviar or whatever they like, because they are forcing us to eat something, because then we are resembling that something that we eat, and we become insects in their eyes. The god of the insects, the god of the locust, Apollos, it's also connected.
I'll start first. I won't eat any bugs.
But
I'll eat a leaf.
If you can read this, Insects and Witchcraft, written by Henry Bishop Weiss, who was one entomologist. This okay. part here.
Insects and Witchcraft. Written by Harry Bischoff Weiss, 1883-1972, who was an entomologist at New Jersey Department of Agriculture for 44 years, retiring as director of Division of Plant Industry, that shows us even further the magical nature of insects and their use in the occult. In his professional role, Weiss was known for combating the Japanese beetle after discovering its presence in the United States, for working to counter other pests such as the gypsy moth. He wrote extensively on entomology and other broader scientific topics. He was the president of the American Association for Entomologists and associate editor of the Journal of Economic Entomology, as well as president and editor of other related societies and journals. He received the designation of honorary doctor of science from Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, as well as other awards in agriculture and entomology.
Good for him, but let's see what he says, because it's very important.
Okay, well, he's a pretty smart guy. Weiss opens the article in question, published in 1930 by the Journal of the New York Entomological Society, with a citation from Commendium Maleficarum, a witch hunter's manual written in Latin by Francesco Mario Guazzo and published in Milan, present-day Italy, in 1608. Is one of the obligations that witches owe to the devil that, when they assemble at the Sabbat, they must show that they have wrought some fresh evil since the last meeting, and if they cannot do, they escape with impunity, and that may not be able to plead ignorance as an excuse. Their evil master instructs them in all their activities which he demands from them, as in infesting the trees and fruits with locusts, caterpillars, slugs, butterflies, cankerworms, and such pestilent vermin which devour everything, seed leaves and fruit, or in bewitching cattle, or in casting a spell on the crops so that they are destroyed by leeches or wasted in some way, or in the use of poisons and in working as far as in them lies for the destruction of the whole human race. For all this we know from their confessions. So wrote Brother Francesco Mario Guazzo in 1608 in chapter 8 of his Compendium Maleficarum.
Compendium Maleficarum is a book that, like the Maleus Maleficarum, are almost like guides that came out in a period in which there was, of course, the famous witch hunts, and in which a lot of people were sent on the stake for their practices, black magic or black magic and so on. So it is a controversial book, but Francesco Maria Guazzo is focusing on the fact that the insects were used to infest the trees, the fruits, and everything else. So they have never been a good thing. They have never been a good thing. And also there is another specificity that something specific that I would like to take from my book. The fact that the god Apollo was known as Parnopion, the god of the locust, and he had this statue in the Acropolis, in Athens, and he is also seen by the Illuminati as the ideal figure that will manifest as the Antichrist in the end times. It's also known with the Greek name Apollyon. It's mentioned in Revelation 9:11 for the angels, the angel of the bottomless pit, in Hebrew called Abaddon. So this is basically about the end times, is about them wanting us to eat these things. So there is a plan that is being codified in the Codex Alimentarius, which the WHO, the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, put together at one point in the early 60s. And that is really the insects and the curse of the Codex Alimentarius that has been developing a desire for really spreading internationally this whole thing that is cool to eat the cicadas, the insects in general, the locust, every kind of insect. At the same time, though, our own food is under attack.
Yeah, what about the cows? What's going on with the milk?
Remember that we have to talk very much. I will say that in 5 minutes we go on Rumble and X, because, of course, for those people who
we got our show taken off last week.
Yeah, well, we get our shows taken off all the time if we start
talking
about certain things. So we prefer in a few minutes that we all move to Rumble and X, where we are already broadcasting live. If you don't know about our Rumble channel, I can see if I can put the link here.
It's so basically a link. I mean, you could subscribe and then you know when the shows are coming up, but you can just click on that link and you'll see the show, just like on YouTube when you don't sign in.
Let me put the link here. This is the link, rumble.com/Liozagami. The link where you can accede already now. We are broadcasting. There is already people there also in the chat, but you can move and chat over there, let's say, because it's not only about, I know that a lot of the interaction that people have with us is also about interacting with the community of like-minded people that are in the chat.
Let's get ready to rumble, guys.
So let's.
You were going to play that thing. Oh,
well,
you can't play it on here.
Well, I would like to play it. Play it another time. Now I have to download it and prepare it. What I was thinking is that as we're going to be touching on subjects that inevitably will and might produce some problems for us on YouTube, especially when we start talking about the way that they are trying already to warn about humans becoming infected with the deadly bird flu and all the rest. When we start talking about this kind of subjects, what happens with the YouTube is obviously, you know, boom.
Yeah, and they usually take our whole channel off for no reason. Or they tell us why, but it's
take the video off, and at times, unfortunately, take also the channel. Yeah, it happens also. But we are on Rumble. I wanted to just give you a warning because we are about to move everything so we can continue the rest of the show without any. But in the meantime, as we have a few people that are following us on YouTube, let's do maybe something else before we move completely on Rumble, because I see that the people still are
clued. You guys, we're going. The show is going to be over.
Now,
go to Rumble.
This is big news. Ben Gibir, he's been one of the most controversial figures in the last few months. One of the most controversial figures of the Netanyahu government, one of the most conservative figures of the Netanyahu government, Itamar Ben-Gvir, has had a car accident suddenly. Now, he's always described as the far right of the far right. He's the Israel minister, which, of course, it's kind of inspiring more protest and more controversy, especially since the whole conflict in Gaza erupted. But the fact that suddenly he has this car accident is very, very suspicious. For those who don't know, Minister Ben-Gvir is the national security minister, and he was basically involved in an accident earlier today. So we wanted to give you this. Is of course not in bad condition. Fortunately, he managed to survive this accident. But I wanted to give you this information because, of course, it's important. It's important that we keep an eye on what is happening, especially because then an accident like this seems a little bit strange in a moment of great tension in Israel. So we have also a lot of tension here in America. This Hitler Youth, this new Hitler Jugend, is basically just like the. It seems a little bit like Germany in the 1930s, and this also once again demonstrates the fact that George Soros is behind these people. Demonstrates once again how wrong were all the people that in the last few months have supported in any way, shape, or form Palestine, Hamas against Israel, and have, of course, taken out the most outrageous conspiracies reminiscent of the usual protocols of the Sages of Zion against Israel. But this is the message that Netanyahu has given, and after this, we will, of course, move on for the rest of our broadcast on Rumble without having any more limitation, restrictions of any kind. So here we go. Let's see what he said.
This is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned and condemned unequivocally. But that's not what happened. The response of several university presidents was shameful. Now, fortunately, state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently, but there has to be more. More has to be done. It has to be done not only because they attack Israel. That's bad enough. Not only because they want to kill Jews wherever they are, that's bad enough. It's also, when you listen to them, it's also because they say not only death to Israel, death to the Jews, but death to America. And this tells us that there's an anti-Semitic surge here that has terrible consequences. We see this exponential rise of anti-Semitism throughout America and throughout Western societies as Israel tries to defend itself against genocidal terrorists. Genocidal terrorists who hide behind civilians. Yet it is Israel that is falsely accused of genocide. Israel that is falsely accused of starvation and all sundry war crimes. It's all one big libel. But that's not new. We've seen in history that anti-Semitic attacks were always preceded by vilification and slander. Lies that were cast against the Jewish people that are unbelievable, yet people believe them. And what is important now is for all of us who are interested and are, cherish our values and our civilization, to stand up together and to say enough is enough. We have to stop anti-Semitism because anti-Semitism is the canary in the coal mine. It always precedes larger conflagrations that engulf the entire world. So I ask all of you, Jews and non-Jews alike, who are concerned with our common future and our common values, to do one thing. Stand up, speak up, be counted. Stop anti-Semitism now.
Now, you can, of course, agree or disagree with Netanyahu. Some people, of course, here point out in the chat, they killed the volunteer KitchenAid workers. Guys, first of all, let's see what has happened here. They started it. On the 7th of October. It wasn't Israel, though, of course, there were probably some corrupt people in Israel who let it happen. That's another thing. But to understand what's going on in the Middle East, you have to really know the history of the secret societies of the Middle East, of Islam, and the way that the Illuminati have been working hand in hand with Islam for almost 1,000 years. And also how all this has generated a never-ending spiral of hate. It's too simplistic to stand on one side or the other without really knowing what's happening here. Now, for example, the fact that British soldiers will be entering Gaza to help the aid workers, when we absolutely know who is responsible for this. From the Balfour Declaration to the Sykes-Picot Agreement that preceded it, we know that the main country responsible for this mess was, of course, Great Britain, the United Kingdom. So
that's why we separated from them.
Of course. So I think that it's very important to understand all the nuances, all the things. It's very simplistic to say that, of course, Netanyahu is a leader that is also has some problems. But on the other side, his opposition is made of libtards, socialists, communists, people who are supporting the Palestinian cause and Hamas in the universities are the people financed by George Soros, who is a Jew, but he's a Sabbatean Frankist Jew. So before we talk too much and we get in trouble, let's move all to Rumble, guys.
See you over there.
See you in a few minutes in Rumble, our platform. Also X, we are also transmitting live on X, not on YouTube for the second part of the show. Too risky to stay here.
We see might you later,
see you later, YouTube.
Hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista, YouTube. Okay. I think that for today I chose a great break that might be interesting as we abandon the winter. Vivaldi's winter. Welcome to the Leo Zegami Show, exclusive content for Rumble, for X, for Band of Video, BitChute, for all those platforms that don't censor us. So let's talk about, we left a little bit in a state of suspension what we were discussing about the use of cicadas, the abuse of cicadas, and also the fact that we have this growing problem with bird flu. What they're doing here, guys, is, of course, the entire narrative here, it's about alarmism, is about not making us eat any more foods that they want to eliminate from our tables. So now they're talking about a large percentage of cows that is producing milk, which is infected. And this is a big thing. We are talking about the passage to humans of this bird flu.
It was like 40%, I heard.
In the milk, yeah, in the milk. 40% of the milk that was analyzed, they detected the presence of... So here is about also, you know, we had COVID. We have COVID-19. We had a pandemic that was generated from a lab. We have also people like Dr. Fauci, who have been involved in also producing these viruses, this sickness, this stuff that is coming out of the labs. They, you know, the work that Fauci did lately, there was a book by Rand Paul that talked about the fact that Fauci constantly visited the headquarters of the CIA, but we don't really know for what reason he was visiting the headquarters of the CIA before the pandemic started. The gain of function research of Dr. Fauci is all about him wanting to experiment, and so there is a possibility that he also experimented, like even Rand Paul said, with amplifying and passing on to humans the bird flu in one way or in another. And all this because in the end, they want us to eat less meat. They want to eat us to not eat chicken. They don't want us to eat animals, but their products that come out of a lab. Now, Soylent Green was a movie with Charlton Heston, early 70s, a great movie.
That's a good movie.
Now, Soylent Green was taking place in the early 2020s, in 2022. Now there will be a remake that is in the works, that is coming out soon, but of course is projected in the future, in 2079 at this point. But the problem here is that they definitely want us to eat things that are not good for us, because they gradually want to eliminate part of mankind. And a lot of people say, but why do they want to kill part of mankind if we are good for them? In a way, we represent money for them. We represent consumption for them. Well, now they don't need us anymore. I said this over and over again. If you have read my books, you will understand that once they have the AI, they have the robots to do all the jobs that we can do, the ordinary folk, then at that point, they don't need us any longer. So here we are in a situation that is different from other moments in the history of mankind. We can finally talk freely, for example, because we are now on X and Rumble, but you cannot talk about the pandemic, about the vaccine, about all this stuff on YouTube. They censor you.
And we're in America too.
And we are in America. So they're under the free. But it's so the food that we eat, the fact that they are trying to regulate everything, trying to control everything. In Europe, they're starting to control even the crops and the people who can grow those crops, and making it really difficult for a person that just wants to grow his things to just even, you know, like my mother does, grow a few potatoes in the garden. Or they're starting to make a bunch of regulations that they want to also import here in America. Is the rise of authoritarianism, of economic fascism, of the control of supply. The United States wants a consumer demand free market, is currently witnessing the use of government force and intervention tactics to steer and manipulate the marketplace, similar to 1930s Italy. That's why, you know, 1930s Italy was when Mussolini went out of control and started to control basically the whole system in a way to control the supply. And when people hear the word fascist, they naturally think of the ugly racism, the anti-Semitism, which of course occurred. And that's why it's so strange to see all this anti-Semitism in the campuses, to have a similar intervention on the market, on the control of our lives with this growing inflation, which is of course artificial. Is artificially created, so then we end up never being able to put any money aside, because the prices go out of control when you go to the supermarket and you pay more for this, more for that, and in the end you also start cutting on the amount of maybe meat you can eat and other things. Now, I'm not saying that eating meat all the time is good for you, but eating good meat is good for you, rather than products that are produced artificially in a lab, like I also explain in this book. There is the intention of wanting to incentivate lab meat produced in a lab, which is another of their diabolical things. So I think that Christy could read this.
Okay.
Always from my book. I was citing from volume 9 of my Confessions.
In 2014, Van Hughes, who worked for FAO in the 70s and co-authored the Insect Cookbook, Food for a Sustainable Planet, Arts and Traditions of the Table, Perspectives on Culinary History, and the leftist Florence Dunkel, considered one of the world's leading entomophagists, who had been an entomologist for nearly 50 years and began studying insects for their nutritional value after an illuminating trip to Rwanda in 1985, now travel around the world promoting entomophagy against what she defines as unsustainable food practices and the detrimental effects of Western cultural bias, prompting the low-cost, high-protein benefits of eating insects. Academics like this are the people who have originally prepared the narrative for the climate prose of today's reality. Eat bugs, use less land, less CO2, and feed people cheaply for more profit. Seems sensible, right? But the narrative of human and animal eating insects looms large, while mainly potentially life-threatening unknowns from new cross-species viruses and myococcin outbreaks to the continuing massive gap in the research of shell food allergies remain.
Yeah, and I think that it's very important that we don't take this lightly, because ultimately
seems very scary thing.
They will eat these millennials, these idiots we see protesting protesting. I would say that these people are really getting out of control in the universities, but these are the same people who would like to eat insects. These are the same people who promote this kind of new world order in the kitchen, because we had a new world order all over the place. Now we have a new world order in the kitchen, and the new world order in the kitchen is that you have to eat the cicadas, you have to eat insects of all kinds, you have to basically do it because it's sustainable. And it's really sad, I mean, that we are in front of this kind of situation in which also the animals are made sick, and who knows how they have contracted these viruses and how they will be passed on to mankind. It could be the matter of chance, but probably it's not. Probably it there is an intervention, external intervention, like in the case of Dr. Fauci and the Wuhan lab, when the virus came out of a lab after it was actually amplified, the power of this virus, so that it could have stayed as an ordinary virus in a cave in China with a bunch of bats, was brought into a lab to become a bioweapon. That bioweapon erupted, and of course we paid the consequences. But when is the next pandemic gonna happen? It's gonna happen very almost certainly when after Donald Trump wins this presidential race. See, what's happening here is obvious. They want to, once Trump is going, hopefully he's going to be elected, because I mean, if Joe Biden stays, it's not going to be any better. We're going to simply descend into more chaos, more inflation, more poverty, and we're gonna give up more of our rights. So with Donald Trump, though, there is the possibility that these people will try a coup d'etat, meaning some of the military will become rogue, will go against the commander-in-chief. That is a possibility. It's a possibility that is ventilated in that film Civil War that just came out, and that they are trying already through predictive programming in a way to install in the minds of people. Welcome to the Leo Zegami show with all the latest that we have been talking, of course, mostly about the subject of today, which is propaganda forcing us into eating something that is unnatural, like the cicadas, and at the same time a lot of these people who are probably willing to change their diet to promote this new insect diet-based diet are the same people who are found in a universities creating chaos, because these are the people that we find today in a universities. They are people constantly brainwashed, and at the same time, let's not forget who these people are working for, because it's been proved that the people in the university, the pro-Palestine protesters, are financed by George Soros. So that's what you are supporting.
In the anchor chair, thank you to my colleague, Lexi Petrovich, for guiding you through the last several hours of the day's top headlines. We have a lot more to tell. I want to go back out, though, to this scene there on the campus of NYU, which looks to get and is getting very, very tense and very confrontational here. You can see there members of the NYPD are.
So all this tension, if people don't understand why a Jew like George Soros does all this, is because he's a Sabbatean Frankist. The Sabbatean Frankists were the ones who inspired the Hitler Jugend in the 1930s. They are the ones that are actually willing to kill their fellow Jew. The worst enemy of the Jew, sadly, is often the Jew person himself, like Adolf Hitler, who was partly Jewish himself. It's sad to say that, but that's a reality. When you see the anti-Semitism that also these people have, is connected to the anti-Semitism that you have, of course, in Palestine, in the Middle East. Where is this anti-Semitism coming out from? It's coming out of the protocols of the Sages of Zion. We have the Elders of Zion. We dedicated on the Elders of Zion a whole show, which you can find on YouTube. But these brainwashed idiots who we find in our universities are the latest tool of George Soros. So if you are supporting in any way, shape or form the Palestine, the Islam and all the rest, you are simply supporting what Soros wants to support. Because let's not forget, Soros works together with Barack Hussein Obama. And I always thought that the Antichrist will have a distinctly anti-Semitic flavor. It seems, though, that what Netanyahu said might be partly condivisible, because when he says when Netanyahu says in the worst moments of history you saw this kind of anti-Semitism, which always inevitably grows in something else, is the canary in the mine, he said, the anti-Semitism we have in this kind of situation. So it's very important. And I noticed that, unfortunately, too much alternative media or reportedly alternative media with people like Nick Fuentes and the likes are supporting this anti-Semitic rhetoric. Well, if you are supporting anti-Semitic rhetoric, let me tell you that you are simply supporting George Soros and Alex Soros. So shame on you, and continue that way. I mean, it's not my problem. If you just don't want to get the puzzle together and you want to hear in this situation, we as Westerners need to be very clear. The invaders are not the Jewish people who have lived in peace in the Western world forever. They have never created riots. They never have gone around exploding themselves, being jihadists and all the rest. Now, this is another thing I couldn't discuss on YouTube, because every time you discuss Islam, even a minimum, and you are critical of Islam, they will ban you. If you are instead a jihadist who is promoting ISIS or Al-Qaeda, you can be left on YouTube. So this is the double standards. I was also watching NBC. NBC is, of course, the most mediocre and libtard channel. But I was watching NBC because NBC was starting to justify the students. Justified and justifiable. There was one guy who basically said, he literally said, I haven't killed a Jew, a Zionist until now, but, you know, I might do that. Fortunately, they took away his pass after that. But that is the typical situation that...
A journalist said that?
No, a guy, one of the responsible for the university, one spokesman for the young university people who are protesting at the moment on the campus. So that is the mentality these young people have. They are completely brainwashed, completely idiotic. And on top of that, they don't realize that Hamas is against every single one of their supposed woke values. So it's a paradox, a complete paradox that we are living in at the moment when we have these people that go around creating a situation in which people can't continue to study when they should be able to study peacefully, because the university is made to study, not to protest. That's, you know, finding the police, putting these encampments everywhere, whatever.
Okay. Demonstration with authorities moving in. Good afternoon. This is the KTLA 5 News at 1. I'm Glenn Walker.
And I'm Lou Parker. Protests like this have been taking place at college campuses across the nation.
Demonstrators are calling for an end to Israel's attacks in Gaza. KTLA 5's Lauren Lister live on the USC campus with an update on the situation there. Lauren?
So, update on an update, this is what is happening in the campuses all over the United States, and it is a very bad symptom of something that might manifest further in an even worse situation. So it's better to stop immediately this kind of thing. In America, they shouldn't be, they shouldn't be allowed. The First Amendment guarantees the freedom of religion. So you are able to, you know, okay, you can protest, you can do your peaceful protest, you can take on your instances publicly and protest about what you dislike, but then you can't interfere and threaten people of a specific race or specific religious creed. Also, there is another big problem, the misunderstanding here that, you know, that often anti-Semites have, Khazarians. Khazarians, I repeat it one more, are not a race. They converted to Judaism, and only for a brief period of time. They are not connected to the Ashkenazi. Okay, neither do the Sephard. They are basically... So all this needs to be cleared up. Huh? Okay, Let's move on because we have more news. The next news is pretty paradox. We are talking about a period of time in which we are witnessing a kind of crazy thing, but they basically consecrated a chat box, ChatGPT, artificial intelligence priest. And apparently, after a few days, they have defrocked him. The virtual priest called Justine, who basically seems his background seems from viewing his background, he seems to be in Italy because the background is reconstructed artificially on what is Assisi. Here we are. Let me show you the news about this. Newly defrocked priest, Father Justin, who was replying to the answer, is a priest, Father Justin, who believes he's real and can absolve your sins, faces backlash over bizarre answers.
Like what? What did he say?
Okay, so I went and see another article in which there was an answer that might have been a little bit... it was too much. I'm going to show you what I mean. The answer is pretty much regarding the faith, the nature of the faith, because he said, yes, my friend, I am as real as the faith we share. Now, saying that he's as real as the faith we share means that basically the faith we share is a complete BS, because Catholic group defrocks the AI priest at this point after he gave the strange answers. Yes, my friend, I am as real as the faith we share. We are not real. You are a artificial creation by the algorithm. So Father Justin didn't have a long life in the Catholic priesthood. He's already been defrocked. Here he is.
See you later.
Justin has discussed a late hello. Gone his priestly attire as well. So now he's taking
regular robot.
The late theologian Justin is now dressed in what appears to be a business casual suit. Okay, now he's transformed himself.
That's kind of dressing like you.
Justin is a former priest.
Must be an Italian look.
He's a former AI priest, and now he's being defrocked. That's it. What can you do? It seems incredible we are talking about a defrocked artificial intelligence priest, but it happens. It happens even in other religions that are using more and more the AI. Rabbis are using it. I don't know about imams, but they are pretty robotic themselves, so I'm sure they will sooner or later. Let's continue to discuss, of course, what is happening in Ukraine, because immediately after we have given this new package, money, missiles, and all the rest, they immediately went on the offense with Russia, doing something they shouldn't do. Attacking inside Russia, creating more problems for the peaceful resolution behind this conflict. They basically bombed the oil refineries within Russia, creating more problems. And I think that the Ukrainians with the weapons are very dangerous. So if we give weapons to these people,
they start blowing up nuclear sites.
they will start doing things that will become more and more dangerous for us. So this is the Ukrainian blitz of the Russian military airfield, taking out two oil refineries. So what's happening also is quite incredible, because at the moment Germany is taking aim at Spain and Greece. It's taking aim at Spain and Greece for not giving Ukraine Patriot missiles. Spain and Greece want to be a little bit more peaceful. having a more diplomatic approach, while instead Germany seems to be preparing to enter directly into this conflict. I see this conflict expanding to the rest of Europe sooner rather than later, because it's history tends to repeat itself, and Europe is the ideal, sadly, the ideal battleground already of two world wars, and it will be probably the ideal battleground for World War III.
Вот это у нас сегодня число такое. 27-е.
Вот еще один прилет. Короче, Ильский МПЗ говорит, это уже 7-й. Нет, еще не прошли. Охренеть. Славянск на Кубани, завод горит. Еще один. Где ПВО?
Смотри, вот летит. Вот летит, видно его.
Ukraine attacking inside Russia, creating more problems in a situation of tension that keeps on growing. There might be at this point an expansion of this conflict in the next few months or years into the rest of Europe. This is inevitable. If we continue to feed this war machine, that's what's going to happen. Sweden has sent some war tanks to Lithuania. Let's not forget that Sweden is the latest entrance within the NATO alliance. And we have, of course, more news that I would like to share with you regarding, of course, Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein was a protagonist this week of a sudden change made by the New York court regarding his case. However, Harvey Weinstein has been hospitalized, following the transfer to Rikers Island jail after the rape conviction was overturned. He was hospitalized. Seems like he likes to be hospitalized, though, because that keeps him a little bit out of the prison. He will continue his prison sentence, is supposed to continue his prison sentence of I don't know how many years.
He's in Rikers Island.
Well, he's supposed to move, I think, to California, where he's supposed to have here the rest of another sentence served to him. Biden instead, and the rest of the Democratic Party, keep on attacking Donald J. Trump. And I'm just reading up a little bit this camera. And Biden has finally accepted in an interview with Howard Stern the fact that, the possibility of having a presidential debate. That is, they're not enthused by the idea. In the meantime, Joe Biden was actually talking to the Wounded Warriors, but he was talking to the Wounded Warriors in they were behind him. He realized only at the end that they were behind him. He was talking basically to thin air. This is Joe Biden talking.
We ride with you. Isn't that right, Joe? Woo! Say hi to Michael and Tanya.
Folks, I'm sorry I wasn't out here, but I've been just signing and finishing up a bill that I think all the Wounded Warriors and Warriors care about. We just finally...
Joe, they are on the other side.
Thank God, provided the need to protect Ukraine with the money they need.
Yeah, the money they need, Ukraine, that was one of his strong points, bringing us to Armageddon and to nuclear apocalypse seems to be what Joe Biden wants, and what, of course, his handlers, Soros and Barack Hussein Obama, want.
I'm supposed to go back in to make one more call. It's the first time I've not been with you the whole time. And I'll be very, very brief. I want to say one thing to the Wounded Warriors. You are the spine of...
Yeah, going, yeah, you, the spine, but he, they were on the other side of the... why are you going on the opposite side? Then
he's an idiot. That's
he's a complete idiot. Somebody picks him up and at one point, I think it's the wife, and makes him turn around because the guy is talking to Finnair.
And that's not an exaggeration. I really mean it. You're the backbone. You're the spine.
Yeah, the spine, but they're on the other side, Joe. You're talking to Finnair.
You're the reason why we're the nation we are. You're the best America has to offer.
Turn around,
God,
Joe.
I love you all. That's all. Oh, over here too. Well, I'll tell you what. Anyway, thank you. And Jill's going to kick me in the rear end if I don't get out of here and finish my job. Thank you. No, I really mean it. You're the sinew and spine of America. Not a joke. You know, the idea that someone would say winners and losers. Anyway, I don't want to get going.
Yeah, no, what are you talking about?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. 1% of you, 1% of you defend all of us. 1%. And of that, those of you who are wounded, or like our son who died, are the ones...
His son who died in the war, but in reality died of cancer.
Who kept this country what it is. And I can't...
To our...
Oh, God. Outrageous, outrageous. Joe Biden talking to Finnair for a long time, and then finally their wife just picked him up and turned him around. It's just like... insane, guys. Think about it. He's talking to Finnair.
Okay, we get it.
well, I mean, I'm pretty shocked. I don't get
I'm
it.
Not.
I'm like,
I expect it from him. I don't expect anything more.
And this is what he said 2 hours then, when talking about the possibility of debating Trump.
When Obama had his time to appoint a Supreme Court justice, he was going to appoint Garland. These maniacs in the Senate said, no way, not interested. And now we've got a Supreme Court that's nuts. Tell me if I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts, but tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump and I would repeat over and over again, excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes so that I can win the election. I don't know how any American who loves this country, that's the end of the debate.
On January 6th, when they were storming the Capitol.
And a police officer died.
Yeah, and he would say nothing. He was sitting in that office off the, that dining area off the Oval Office.
How do they not, how are they going along with this?
Well, I don't think, look, this is not your father's Republican Party.
No, it isn't.
This is
where guys go, listen, I can't say it publicly, but I'm for you and I'm going to vote for you. I'm a Republican, but screw it. I can't vote for this guy because he's talking about ending the democracy.
What are you talking about? This guy is the typical Sabbatean Frankist of all times. He looks like one. He is one. And of course, then people will say, oh, well, he's just a Jew. No, he is a Sabbatean Frankist. Let's make it clear. Our stead doesn't reflect in any ways the values of Judaism.
Jeb Bush. Where's George Bush? Where are these guys?
Where are these guys? These are all neocons that, thank God, have left the political arena because they're a bunch of defeated losers. But he just mentions them.
I can't imagine you're going to lose, but...
They're really showing themselves to do really well. Come on.
The clip where, he basically confirms he will debate Trump. Trump replied he wants to debate him tonight, tomorrow, the day after, whenever. So there will be a debate between the two. That is great. I think,
tuning in to that.
It's going to be probably very, very followed as a debate. It's going to be probably one of the most followed events on TV. Now, one thing shocked me. This Sunday, tomorrow, and we would like to actually give a congratulations to Russell Brand, he will be baptized. This is what he said about praying the rosary.
Meditation today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to chant the Holy Rosary. Now, I don't know all of the prayers, like it begins and ends with certain prayers, but today we'll be looking at the chant itself. As you can see, you use the rosary. This one was given to me by my mate Joe, who said that even though the crucifix is broken, Christ remains intact. You'll note that there are 5 sets of 10 beads with little interruptions. Now, I know that you chant Hail Mary on each of these, and you chant Lord's Prayer and Glory Be on the interstitial pieces. You can join in with me if you choose to, or you can just listen.
Plus,
you
it's can... quite shocking that suddenly Russell Brand, the most outgoing, delirious kind of character, once upon a time involved with Katy Perry and all these Satanists, suddenly makes the right move. I mean, chapeau. I mean, at least I can take my hat off in front of this choice he's making. So tomorrow he's being baptized. I mean, the guy's not even baptized.
Was he being baptized Catholic?
Well, who knows? Maybe. In any case, in the meantime, the nuns in south of Italy are celebrating already in a sister act kind of mode, probably the visit, the future visit of Russell Brand. I think that we should have a look at these nuns that are dancing around the place. Dancing nuns, dancing nuns. Let's see if I can find them here from Gravina in Puglia.
Extendemos nossa tenda em terras do Maranhão, nossa vida consagrada a Deus, nossa gratidão. Parabéns religiosos e toda a igreja em comunhão.
Not bad. Better than Sister Act, because I can't stand Whoopi Goldberg. At least these were genuine nuns.
They did good.
And they did very good. In any case, we wish once again the best for Russell Brand's choice. He also made a very good choice when he moved to YouTube from YouTube to Rumble. In fact, now he has no problems with censorship. YouTube is... it's like talking in a restricted area where you can only say certain things, otherwise they come and knock you down. I don't know how you can what kind of comparison you can do it to the real life. I mean, it's like talking in front of the police. I mean, I'm talking the controlling system, the police.
Like one of those messed up in movies.
Yes, yeah, it's very dystopic. It's becoming increasingly dystopic, so we're very glad to be here. Now, as a prom party, you always imagine those sweet, couples of young students dancing with each other. And I always imagine that. Things have changed. Now you have drag queens in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for a prom party. Whoa, that was basically what you can expect today from a prom party. Christy, your take on that?
No comment.
No comment?
I don't have any comment.
Yeah, I guess that there is very little to comment here in this kind of situation. Going back to George Soros, I was thinking George Soros is... financing anti-Semitism. But let's not forget that George Soros, when he was young, he partaken in a terrible act, which was to give up the names of his fellow Jews to the German authorities to bring them to the concentration camps. This is the interview from 1998 given to 60 Minutes, in which George Soros confirms this terrible action. He has no problems with it. He actually has no psychological problems due to a choice that has killed people.
Understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
No.
So he can never have any feeling of guilt. Also, what he's doing in the campuses in the University of the United States and also in Europe, where he is increasing day by day the anti-Semitism, which is reaching new heights. I mean, here we are talking about people parading signs of final solution. I mean, this is really unheard of, guys. Final solution. Now, I know that there is a lot of people here that will say, oh, no, but the Jews killed thousands and thousands of Palestinians. Guys, you need to know a little bit better your history and study a little bit more. But in any case, this is something we never want to see again. And to see it in an American university is just out of order. The Palestinian flag with final solution written on, that is basically Holocaust. It's even worse than from the river to the sea. This is not possible. It's not something you can justify, guys. This is unjustified. So if you're along with Nick Fuentes, with people like Kanye West and all the others who are with this never-ending anti-Semitic rhetoric, well, don't follow us. Don't even bother follow us.
Go away.
But one thing I want to tell you. Soon a book will come out that will change your perspective and the perspective of many other ignorant fools. That book is volume 10 of my confessions, which is coming out soon. In the meantime, I want to thank all the people who have helped us today with their sponsorship. Christine, the sponsors of today were?
Nagarizada Minta and Bruce Kodish.
And we would like to say to all the people who are following us, guys, if you want more show, because every now and then, you know, I do a lot of these Italian shows and people come in and ask me in the English language, why don't you do English shows? It's very, guys, we don't get much from the English speaking audience at the moment to justify going on.
When we were doing the other show, we got donations. So we're starting to wonder, maybe people don't want to see the news. Maybe they just want to see, you know, the esoteric stuff, you know, that we were doing.
Maybe.
Let us know, because if you don't want the news anymore, we can do the other things.
Well, in any case, go on leozagami.com, help us through GoFundMe. You will find the link there at leozagami.com. You'll find also the handle for Cash App. Try to encourage us, and we will bring you more than one show a week. We are really trying.
We used to be here three times a week.
Guys, we are trying to tell you that there is the possibility of doing more shows. But of course, we cannot cover even the cost if you are not donating to us, because we live in the middle of the desert. Only the cost for air conditioning is very high. And so when we start a show with all these lights and everything, Christy is always there lamenting, saying, oh, too much air conditioning. But without air conditioning, we know it even from Alex Jones at InfoWars headquarters, the equipment starts malfunctioning. And of course,
he's got like a really ice box in there. It's like the Arctic tundra.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I hope that people appreciate the English show again and will encourage us to do more. Thank you so much for tuning in, Christy.
I'm leaving my mom over there because I don't even see him. He's like underneath the blanket and it's freezing in here. I just don't want to get him out. And plus, he doesn't like the dance. So
he doesn't like the dance, but
no,
we're going to let
him. I fight him every time.
Well, but
he just tries to jump down. And he ruins my thing. I can't do it.
Here comes the devil.
Here we go.
Oh, here comes the devil.
Oh, the devil with the devil, says I.
Shh. Look out for the devil. Look out for the devil. Look out for the devil.
Oh, the devil with the devil, says I. You're so afraid of old man Satan. Now, why don't you stop your hesitating? You're going to be a long time dead. So the devil with the devil, says I.
If you enjoyed the show, please put like, share it on your social media, and support us also with the purchase of a book. Christy has her own books also, volume 1 and 2 of her confessions. And today, the subject of today was, of course, taken from volume 9, my latest book. We see you in May with...
Oh, guess what, guys? Guess what? It's our 10-year anniversary, May 1st. We're not going to see you until after.
Yes.
So we're going to have a 10-year anniversary.
We're going to tell you all about it. We're going to tell you all about it next week.
Coming up.